This is Rhea Butcher, the host of Wham Bam Pow. Alongside me, well, technically he's across from me, as my co-host of the show that you're listening to, Wham Bam Pow, Mr. Coco Palau himself, Ricky Carmona.
Dale con fuerza.
Hola.
Buenas tardes. Amigo. Oh, ¿cómo estamos, Rhea Butcher?
Oh, that's great. I've never heard my name pronounced that way.
Well, there you go.
And I love it. I'm just introducing you up top.
Thank
it's
you.
It's an R&R episode. Ooh. Again. Mm. We got the R&R going.
That's right.
Yeah.
Rock and or roll.
Rock and or roll. One of my friends, Mr. Ryan McMenamin, whom you might know from the podcast Put Your Hands Together, likes to call me R&B.
Oh, I like that.
That's
I like
fun.
That. R&B.
I like that. I used to be root beer. Whenever I got soda at a fast food place, I'd always pop that R&B dimple.
Yeah, you did.
And nobody would steal my soda because they thought it was root beer, and root beer is pretty gross.
What?
I don't know.
How dare you?
Well, it's kind of a useless soda because there's no caffeine in it.
How double dare
you?
No,
I know. I love root beer. It's not like I mean, I grew up on dad's.
Mm.
Did you have dad's root beer?
I had mom's root beer.
I had stepdad's root beer, technically.
I did not have dad's. I was a big fan of the traditional, is that A&W?
A&W, yes.
And then...
how do you say...
How do you say...
W.
Sí. A-I-W.
W.
As a kid, I always liked that for us, W was just... It's like a dove course.
Double.
Double. Yeah, why would we not say it?
Of course.
And then what was the other one as I got older that I started to like a lot? Stewart's.
Is that the
Jones.
One?
Jones. Big fan of Jones root beer.
Stewart's makes a gosh darn good black cherry soda.
I believe they make a really good orange soda as well.
Yep.
Good cream soda.
We have now changed the
ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
it's called Wham Bam Pop.
Ah, yeah.
And we only talk about soda. And I have to say,
yes.
I am like throwing my Midwesterner roots behind me by calling it soda, because I grew up calling it pop.
When I have heard this brought up to me before, I immediately blank and go, shit, I don't know what I call it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because I have had, in high school, my best friend came from California to live in Chicago. So, and he would, like, I don't even remember which one I said. I either said soda or
sure.
I either said pop. But either way, he was like, well, what the fuck did you just
what
call
are you
it?
Talking about?
Yeah, we call it blah, 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 blah. And I was like, give me the goddamn Coca-Cola, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just go down south and everybody calls it Coke down there.
Yeah?
Clear Coke, that's Sprite.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Let me get a clear Coke.
Let me get a clear Coke.
Let me get a Pepsi free. Ah, that's for you, Rhea.
If you want a Pepsi, pal, you're going to have to pay for it. Just give me something without any sugar in it. Can't give you a tab unless you order something. Anyway, I could do that all day. But this show that
day.
You're listening to right now is not a podcast about pop.
Mm-mm.
It is a podcast about movies, specifically action and sci-fi movies.
Cinema. Sí.
Awesome. And we have some really great news for you guys, specifically great news for all y'all who live in Los Angeles. I never say y'all. I don't know.
Every one
of you who live in Los Angeles, we are going to do our first live Wham Bam Pow. Can you believe it?
En vivo.
Live.
Sí.
From Los Angeles, it's Wham Bam Pow. It's going to be on March 23rd at 11 p.m.
Late night.
UCB Franklin, and it's going to be $5. We'll have more details to follow, obviously, specifics of what's going on. But I can guarantee you right now, it's going to be fantastic.
Can I tell them George Clooney will be there?
Yeah, George Clooney will be there.
Oh, I mean, I'm...
But you tell him.
I'm just saying, if you would be there and George Clooney would be there, you can look at me and I'm going to give you that I told you so look.
I Clooneyed you.
Yeah.
I gave you a clue.
Boom.
That Clooney would be there.
That's right. And also, we will be reviewing Clue the movie.
Well, we totally could. Good call, Ricky. It's possible.
Thanks.
It's on Netflix, but also, we'd probably get sued for playing Netflix in a theater. So,
I'm pretty
anyway,
sure they'd
we'll
be
figure
okay
it out.
With that.
We're not sure what it's going to be yet, but I can guarantee, again, it's going to be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But today, on this show that you are listening to right now, we are going to have a review of 2014's RoboCop, which is streaming on Netflix Watch Instant right now. And when that review comes up at the end of the show, we're going to be spoiling the heck out of it. So if you haven't seen that movie yet and you don't want to get spoiled, either just pause, catch up, whatever you want to do. Just, you know, figure your life out. Or just listen to us talk about the movie because we're very delightful. And we will be back with some news, reviews, and things you can use right after this. All right, we're back with some news, reviews, and things you can use. I think up top, just got to talk about the biggest thing. I just noticed on my way in here that they're already selling tickets to the movie on Fandango.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie that I'm talking about is Avengers 2, Age of Ultron. Or just Avengers, Age of Ultron. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Is it Avengers? I like to say colon. Avengers. Thank you. Thank you.
Cologne.
Thank you. I'd also like to take this moment to introduce my new cologne.
Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron. See.
Avengers.
Avengers.
Age of Ultron.
You know what, Antonio Banderas? Just get in here and... Do it like it. You did. Yeah, I'm trying to do it like you did it, and you do it like you do it.
You do it. So you have abstained from the trailer.
I am abstaining. I am staying pure.
Sure. Have you not seen any of the trailers?
I saw the first trailer.
Okay.
And I enjoyed the shit out of that.
And that is the Ain't Got No Strings on Me one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Theatrical trailer, if you will.
Oui.
Yes.
And I loved that. Thought it was great.
Yes, it was great.
And I was like,
I thought it was great.
I'm good. I don't need anything. I don't need any more after that. I don't want any more.
Yeah.
I'm trying to stick to that. The first trailer you give me, I'm all in.
Yeah.
After that.
I think that's a good methodology for a movie that you really want to see. Only seeing the theatrical trailer, because that's the one you're going to be kind of forced to see anyway.
Yeah.
And that everybody's sort of seeing. And they don't really give a ton away in that first theatrical
trailer.
No, they
don't. Yeah. And I saw two stills from the new trailer.
Sure.
That was really sick.
And like,
already,
whoa,
I was like, hey, yeah.
And
I was like, well, that looks like it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And I wish I didn't know that that was going to happen.
Right. Well,
you know?
Here's the thing.
Yes.
I've been pretty anti-Avengers. I'm not quite as anti-Avengers as Cameron is.
Oh, I just remembered how much she hated it.
She is very anti-Avengers.
I just got filled with it.
I can see her in the corner of the booth right now just like throwing a fit. That's how much her feelings against the Avengers hangs heavy in
she
this
might
room.
Be turning into the She-Hulk wherever
yeah,
she is
for
right
sure.
now.
Sure, yeah, exactly. but I do have to say that seeing this new trailer has made me excited for it,
mm-hmm.
which I was not necessarily before. Although James Spader does excite me.
Yeah.
His inclusion in this movie, because man, I've had a weird relationship with that James Spader.
Yeah?
We've reviewed Tough Turf on this show.
We have.
Our turf got tough.
It did.
And man, now that I'm an adult, I can totally enjoy all of his work because I'm an adult. But I have to say, when I was a kid, he really confused me.
Confused you how?
Because he was like sexy and weird and confusing and nerdy, but also like brooding and just so many things that I was like, ugh. He's too intense. Because I would like see him in, you know, like I saw Less Than Zero way too young. Definitely
sure.
too young.
Sure.
He's very creepy in that. He's creepy and Pretty in Pink. And then he plays that weird nerd in Mannequin.
That's
slick
right.
back hair.
I forgot
all of a
about
sudden,
that.
And then I also saw 2 Days in the Valley, that terrible Pulp Fiction
ripoff. Oh, I passed on that one, yeah.
And he is so, I think that's like one of Charlize Theron's like first movies.
Yep.
Which is crazy. And there's like this weird death scene. Anyway, very creepy.
Yeah.
Also, he was in this movie that I cannot recall the name of it with Rob Lowe.
Oh, you are speaking of... Oh,
it's not like bad Influence.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We both got
yes,
it.
Yes, I saw that movie also when I was very young, which is definitely not a movie that a kid should be seeing. Here's the thing. My dad had visitation, so most of the times I would just go over there, and then he'd put me in front of the TV, and he'd do whatever he wanted to do, and I watched a lot of movies I shouldn't have seen, like Death Wish, all that kind of stuff. It was, you know, edited for TV, but not for an 8-year-old,
sure.
That's for sure.
Sure.
Interesting thing about Bad Influence is that they're, like, flip-flopped, that Rob Lowe is the James Spader-type
right.
character, they're cast against type.
Yeah, that is right.
Check that movie out. It's super weird.
I remember
definitely worth watching like on a Saturday night with some friends and a lot of Doritos.
I believe that was considered a Rob Lowe comeback vehicle.
Sure.
Right?
And then it didn't work.
And then it kind of was like, oh yeah, he's
you're gonna
playing...
have to wait till the West Wing.
You know what? just wait till the West Wing, sir.
Just wait a minute, Lo.
What's the West Wing? You'll find out.
You had a bout last night. You had St. Elmo's fire. You had so many things. You're just going to have to wait a little bit. There's going to be this show in about 20 years called Parks and Recreation. People are going to love you again.
There you go. You're going to do these weird commercials.
So. Back to the Avengers. Yeah, super weird commercials. So I'm excited about it. I also like how much Scarlett Johansson is featured in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully she gets to do some more stuff. She had something other than tiny handguns.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
And I don't know.
There's that new female character that's along with Quicksilver. Whose name, character name, I can't remember.
She is Scarlet Witch, maybe? No.
Okay.
I don't know.
Sorry, guys. I'm sure you're all clawing at your earbuds
right now.
You're
all yelling.
It's...
I hope it's blah.
It's blah. So everybody that's upset at Cameron for not liking the Avengers, just be happy that Ricky and I are excited for the new one.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so excited I don't want to see the trailer.
Yeah. Like, that's how excited he is.
I loved the first one. I thought it was great. And yeah, this I've heard, I haven't, I guess I didn't see it, but I heard that Scarlett Johansson, whether it's in this new trailer, but definitely in the movie, she's got a couple scenes where you're like, oh, shit.
Well, that's great because
so
I loved what they did in, we loved Winter Soldier on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So that movie made me excited for Avengers 2.
Yeah.
So good job, you guys. Good job on Winter Soldier.
I like Scarlett Johansson. I'm down with her.
It's just she doesn't get to do as much as I would hope, you know, and she got to do a lot
in the Avengers
Winter
movies. Yes. Yeah.
In the Avengers movies, she's kind of like, oh, I'll hold the phone and keep notes and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I won't spoil the trailer for
Wait, you're telling me there's a phone in this trailer?
There's a phone.
What the hell?
Well, in some more trailer news, I watched a trailer the other day, or maybe today. I can't remember. I had coffee recently called Ex Machina, or Machina. Machina. Ex Machina. Whatever. And it's starring Oscar Isaac, and it's from the writer of 28 Days Later. I am so glad that Oscar Isaac is in a bunch of stuff. I really like that guy in Drive.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was great.
He's my favorite thing about Drive.
Yeah.
I did not like Drive. Loved Oscar
really?
Isaac. Yeah.
You didn't like Drive.
Did
what
not
did
like
you not
Drive.
Like about it? Too brooding?
If I want to see a good Michael Mann movie, I'll watch a good Michael Mann movie. I said it.
You stole your mama's credit? Yeah, you
Sucked
did.
Sucked me in the stomach three more times. I just thought it was, I thought it looked very pretty.
Sure.
But I didn't, like, emotionally, I was just like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest Ryan Gosling
sure.
dude. But when Oscar Isaac showed up, I was like, who's this dude?
Yes.
Why haven't I seen you in more stuff?
Yeah. Well, now you have.
And now, yeah, now,
now he's all over the place.
Now he's all over the spot. He's blowing up the spot. Oscar, slow down.
Killing me, Oscar.
Actually, you know what? Oscar, don't slow down. Dale con más fuerza. He knows what that means.
Yes, he does. So this movie looks like, I mean, hey, we're knee deep in the hoopla,
yeah,
if
we
you
are.
Will, with robot fever, because we're walking around with little tiny robots in our pockets,
mm-hmm.
so we're terrified again. 80s was mannequins. 90s was virtual reality, I guess.
Sure.
VR, video games, maybe.
Virtual reality? No, that seems okay. I'll accept that one.
Early 2000s in terms
dinosaurs.
Of...
Dinosaurs?
Early
2000s would be...
Terrorists, I guess, maybe.
Brown people.
Yeah. And now we're like, robots are probably going to be the problem.
Yeah, it's probably going to be robots.
Yeah. So this trailer looks exciting to me.
How did you land on this trailer?
I don't know. I think I was just bouncing around.
Yep.
And people were like, oh, this looks good. Maybe Slash Film?
Mm.
Shout out to Slash Film.
Shout out.
Or IO9. That's where I check for most of our news.
Okay.
But it looks pretty interesting. It looks a bit taking some tiny elements from Transcendence
mm-hmm.
and then a lot of elements from The Machine.
The Machine is the one that we saw, right?
That's the one that we saw and we really liked.
I was getting
I loved that
vibe a lot.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then even a little bit of that Automata that we watched.
Yes.
But hey, I mean, when you're making robot movies, you're borrowing. You're borrowing.
Yeah.
The foundation has been set and it's been set for... 100 years, like you can't really,
and it's
not borrow from other properties when you're making stuff like that.
For sure, and I felt that's more of like is trope the right word?
Sure.
They're taking this thing is created now. What happens when it interacts
with the world that we have now?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean to me that's just like a fish out of water story.
Yeah.
Or what if we take this character and put him there?
Mm-hmm. And it's also looking like it's a bit of a whodunit. There might be some switcheroos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, who is...
Who can be trusted.
Is the AI the AI, or is it learning on its own? You know, like, all that stuff is sort of what we're really focused on now, because we have little tablets and stuff that learn as we talk to them.
Yeah. There's a really great shot. Throughout the trailer, she's walking around, and you can kind of, like, see her robot intestines. But then there's a really great shot where she, like, takes, like, her hand away from her face, and then you can see, like, everything, like, all the metal behind it.
Yeah.
It's really quick, and I was like, ooh!
That looks good.
That looks really freaky.
So hopefully we'll get to do that on this show if it gets a wide enough release. I'm pretty excited about it.
I think it will. I think it'll get... I could see that being a late summer release.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that, and I will see that. One thing I will not see that we forgot to... I don't think we talked about it. I think we talked about it as we left the recording last week.
Okay.
One thing I will not make myself watch, because I just can't do it, which is the video of Michael Keaton putting his Oscar speech away.
Is that a real thing?
I don't know, because I don't want to test it, because good God, that will break my heart if I have to see that.
Actually, speaking of Slash Film, I was listening to their podcast on the way in today, and he was talking about Michael Keaton, that he wishes that that Michael Keaton would have won, because he would have loved to have heard Michael Keaton's speech. And then I immediately started thinking of like just a camera being on him and him putting the speech away, and it made me so sad. I was like, no.
There are so many tragedies in the world, but that this also makes me very sad. Just because that Golden Globe speech was so nice and kind and thoughtful and moving, because he hasn't been in the public eye in a while, and then when he was younger, and now he's older and gone through so much of his life, it was just really touching to hear what he had to say. And this guy is like he's ours. He's our Batman.
He's
our Beetlejuice. I mean,
absolutely.
Come on. He's like... He's Mr. Mom, for crying out loud.
He's got a great Instagram as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he does. I'm at that point with it where I don't know if it's him or not, but sometimes it'll be like one picture was like, you know, some angle in the Oscars.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, that's
this has
gotta
to be him.
But then a lot of it will be like pictures of like whatever newspaper he's reading. And I'll be like, look how we're getting screwed now, you know? And I'm like, oh, Michael, you're the best.
Shout out to Michael Keaton's Instagram.
Yeah, shout out to Michael Keaton's Instagram. Friend of the show, Michael Keaton.
Friend of the show,
whenever
Batman.
You want to come on the show, bro, the door is always
that
open for
so
you.
That would be so awesome if he just did. If he, like, listened and was like, you know what? I'm going to do this one.
Have That'd you listened to his WTF?
No, I haven't.
That one's pretty great,
too. I'll listen to it.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
Yeah.
A couple more news items. Mm-hmm. I just was reading about... I forgot this was even a thing, and it's totally a thing.
Okay.
The Independence Day sequel.
That is a thing, yeah.
Have you heard any of the casting news for this?
I did. I saw a headline today that said Jeff Goldblum and Liam Hemsworth are returning.
Liam Hemsworth.
Yes.
Is confirmed, and so is Jeff Goldblum.
And I thought the headline...
Bill Pullman is in talks, but he's not confirmed.
Oh,
he's not official yet.
Are you busy, Bill?
Yeah, he's a little busy. But Liam Hemsworth, I think, is supposed to be Bill Pullman's son, and then Jeff Goldblum is reprising his character. And then also this young gentleman named Jesse Usher will be playing the role of Will Smith's stepson.
Oh, okay.
So I'm guessing he's going to be, you know, taking the lead on that part, but then also Liam Hemsworth. And I think that Will Smith's character will be deceased.
Ooh.
Because he ain't coming back.
He ain't gonna make it?
He ain't gonna make it.
Interesting. Will, can we ask the important questions? Will Randy Quaid be back?
That is an important question.
That's what I need to know.
We don't know yet.
Because I don't know if people have seen him recently on camera. Have you seen that video of Randy Quaid?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, Rhea!
I know.
Oh, do you know about the video?
A lot of it. I don't know anything about it.
Oh, well, what do you know about Randy Quaid today?
He's not doing very well.
He's doing great in his mind.
Yeah, sure, in his mind.
In his mind.
He's not doing so great.
Oh, he's going through some things, and this video is just insane. Like... It's like, I mean, if it wasn't Randy Quaid, you would be like, we need to find this guy.
This person needs some help.
Yeah, and we need to, like,
But since it's a famous person, Who cares?
Yeah, so, you know,
repost it a bunch. Get my cloud score up.
It is.
So there's that, and then I have one last casting thing to mention because it's relevant to some movies we're going to be talking about on a possible bonus episode.
What?
Dan Stevens, star of The Guest, has been cast as Beast in the new Disney live action production of Beauty and the Beast.
Mm.
Emma Watson will be Belle, and Luke Evans will be Gaston. It's kind of crazy to me that they're just blasting through all these and making live action ones. But Maleficent did pretty well.
Yep.
I haven't finished watching it yet. I started it and then just couldn't get back into it. But I did see the trailer for Cinderella, and you know what? I am intrigued.
Yeah?
It actually looks interesting.
I'm waiting for Spinderella.
You know, when I was in fifth grade, as an assignment, we had to write plays as, like, groups. We split in two.
Yeah.
And we wrote a brilliant play called Klutzarella. Because there was this one girl in our class who was the biggest klutz.
Yeah.
And she knew it, too. She was like, yeah, I'm going to be the Klutzarella, right? Like, as soon as we read it. And she was. But then everybody else that wrote it, we all got really crappy parts because they did it by, like, they just pulled numbers for it. And then I ended up being, like, a rat or something. Because instead of having fairy godmothers, she had fairy rat mothers and stuff. And I was like, no. I was supposed to be Prince Charming. I wrote that role for me. And then I didn't get to do the role. I was mad. My mom was mad. I'm still mad about it.
As you should be.
But anyway, I'm curious to see how Matthew Crawley looks as a beast.
Who's Matthew Crawley?
That is Dan Stevens' character from Downton Abbey.
Ah, he's the Downton Abbey
guy. He's the Downton
Abbey
guy.
Got you. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Also curious, are they just going to CGI the dinner plates
beast?
And stuff?
Oh,
or?
I don't know. I mean, I hate musicals.
Sure.
So, I mean, they could fucking use paper plates, and I'd be like, yep, that looks like a plate.
I mean, I'm excited about seeing Disney do new things, but you know what?
Mm.
In the words of the immortal Cogsworth, if it's not Baroque, don't fix it.
Preach. Church.
And we'll be back with a special segment after this.
Hey, I'm Lindsay.
I'm Brian.
And we're the hosts of Max Fun's first ever web series, Brian and Lindsay Will Totally Eat That.
And big news, guys. Our Kickstarter got funded!
Woo! Woo-hoo! Yay! Thank you so, so, so much to everyone who kicked in and everyone who tweeted about it and helped spread the word. And of course, thank you so much to our friends at Hover.
Hover, once we reached our goal, they were so excited about it that they kicked in an extra $10,000.
We'll be shooting new episodes this spring, and we have so many great things for you to look forward to.
And if by some stretch of the imagination you haven't heard of the show or watched any of the episodes, check them out. Each episode has its own URL provided by Hover. And the first one is chocolate.shoes.
That's right. And the second one is breadsweats.com. So give those a watch and look forward to our shows that will be coming up very soon. And thank you all again so much for your support.
Brian and Lindsay will totally eat that.
All right, we're back, and, you know, we're sad because we lost a big one in the sci-fi action world. We lost Leonard Nimoy recently.
Mm.
Very sad. He was like a big, I used to watch Star Trek all the time when I was a kid. It was in syndication, like I said at the top of the show.
Mm.
Spent a lot of time watching television on those divorced dad nights. Watched a lot of Star Trek, like a lot. And he taught me how to raise my eyebrow.
Is that right?
Yes. That's how I learned from watching Spock. I was like, I want to do that. And I just sat there in front of the TV, learned how to raise my eyebrow. And I did, he was my favorite, like immediately. And I think I said this on, like, social media when he passed away. I was like, Spock taught me how to raise my eyebrow and how to feel okay if you're, when you're, like, not normal around a bunch of people that are totally different than you.
Hmm.
You know, because he was, like, he had no, there weren't any other Vulcans that were half human. He was a mutt.
Yeah.
In space. And so as a gay kid, I was like, oh, I relate to that guy because everybody thinks he's weird. So that's how I feel about him. And he also directed one of my favorite movies of all time, Three Men and a Baby. I love how you were on top of that before I was.
Well, he hasn't directed that many, right?
No.
Yeah, so that's the big one. That was a huge success for him. Did he direct the sequel as well?
I don't think so.
Did he come back? Was he asked back for number two?
Did he want to direct that thing? It didn't have the same feeling, I would say. I recently watched Three Men and a Little Lady.
Yeah?
Not quite as good. Not terrible.
Yeah?
Just not quite as good.
Okay. Yeah, it was a real bummer when he passed away. And I even remember I think it was on Friday before the weekend that they said he had been rushed to the hospital. And I was like, oh, damn, that sucks. And then when he passed away, I was like, that's a super bummer. I loved, one of the early memories I have of being at a movie theater is seeing Star Trek III, Search for Spock.
Search for Spock.
Excuse me. And I loved that movie. I thought that was fantastic. Still holds up, I think. Christopher Lloyd, great Klingon villain in that. I believe his name is Tuk-Tak-Klok.
Great job.
I just made that up. But he's great in it, and I love, too, I mean, I don't know whether or not I knew it at the time, but I just love this whole idea of, I'm going to give the ending away to the movie here. Well, actually, that movie does what I have mentioned on the show before here. I love when a sequel picks up right where the last movie leaves off, which
yes.
Star Trek III does, and then
he also
it also...
directed Star Trek III.
Ah, there you go.
And 4.
Is that right?
4 was my personal favorite because it was on the same VHS as my copy of Back to the Future.
Oh, there you
so
go.
I would watch those two. Both time travel.
I did not like 4 for some reason.
Yeah, I understand.
They
it's
put
not...
it being like in the present, in the like in our
yes.
world. I was like, no.
It was weird. It was a little, what's the word? I can't think of the word, but just
shitty?
Gimmicky. It was a little gimmicky.
That's what I meant to say.
You know, I was like 6, so I was like, this is great. We're here. Like that part when Bones, like, they walk through the hospital and he's just like fixing people left and right, you
yeah.
know, because they have this crazy technology. Anyway, you were talking about 3. And I interrupted you.
It's okay. It's all right. So yeah, it does a thing where it ends. It starts where 2 leaves you, and then it ends with there will be. It ends not on a cliffhanger, but on a, hey, I think there's going to be another one after this,
yeah.
which was really great. I loved him on Fringe when I got into Fringe maybe about a year or 2 years ago. Loved him on that. He was great. He just seems, he also like too, like when you would like read about him or like give interviews, he just seemed like a guy who's like, you know, he didn't have that thing where sometimes like William Shatner, when I hear him talk about Kirk, I'm like, I don't know how much you enjoy this.
Sure, yeah.
You know? I feel like this might actually be that thing inside that drives you insane.
Yeah.
But Leonard Nimoy, I always feel like, you're like, yeah, I'm Spock, what's up?
Which is funny because Spock is so, I mean, so much more a characterization. I mean, he had to wear ears.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to have like a crazy haircut. I mean, William Shatner just hammed it up.
Yeah.
And then, but he always did that. That was like, until I saw him in Columbo, tons of Columbo episodes. He did everything the same way. So that's like his thing. I can understand it's got to be exhausting, like being known for this one thing.
Absolutely.
And people are like, oh my God, Kirk, for like your entire life.
Absolutely.
But just imagine how much more so you would be if you were Spock for
yeah.
crying out loud. You know? Because I feel like, you know, DeForest Kelly could probably squeeze through a restaurant and people wouldn't be like, Bones!
Hey.
I mean, definitely they would have.
Mm.
But also, I feel like you could maybe. But he's Spock. He looks like Spock. Spock.
That's
and like those ears are like the most iconic. What
they're huge.
Could you think of anything else that is like more sci-fi geek? I mean, it means all of those things. Like
yeah.
put those ears on somebody. They're into Star Trek. They're into Star Wars. Probably also they
mm-hmm.
go to Comic-Con. You know, all that stuff is just imbibed in that one character. Which
and
is pretty amazing.
That scene between Spock and Kirk at the end of Star Trek II is like amazing.
Yes,
like it's like Star Trek II is a great movie.
It really is.
Like the first Star Trek movie, not good, but that second one, on point.
Yes,
like you don't have to be a fan of Star Trek.
No, it's
like,
just a good movie.
It's
on
just
its
a
own.
Great movie.
And that, of course, right now we're talking about that movie, so I'm going to talk about the ending of that movie. So
mm-hmm.
if you haven't seen it and you don't want to be spoiled on it, Don't listen. Skip forward like 30 seconds.
Oh, y'all need to start watching movies more.
Yeah. I mean, you probably, it's an old movie, but I just am giving you some warning that whatever. But I watched that funeral scene mm-hmm. again, and it was very touching.
Yeah. Scotty's great in it. I mean, him, just the whole, from when he like calls him, like, and he calls the captain on the earpiece, like, you need to get down here.
Yeah.
Or I think maybe it's Bones who says it. Whoever says it to him, you can just tell, like, oh shit, this is going to be bad. I can only imagine what it must have been like as like somebody who's like watching the movie for the first time and seeing what's about to happen. Like, man, that's huge.
Yes. And when I watched the new Star Trek, I was sad because I was thinking about Wrath of Khan. When they redid that scene, I was sad. And those actors did a great job. But I was sad because of what was already present between the original Kirk and Spock.
You know,
between Shatner and Nimoy, not necessarily what I was actually watching, which is crazy.
Yeah.
That is so effective in that movie.
Absolutely.
That it then was in another movie with completely different people, but the same characters.
It's almost like a Boyhood like type effect.
Yeah.
Where like, shit, I've just watched these men grow into this age with these roles, and now you're watching, you know, this pivotal moment. I mean, part of the flaw was in the new Star Trek when they do it, because I was just like, I've only been with these guys two movies, so I'm not like emotionally like, oh man, I can't believe this. I'm just like, no, you guys signed on for three more movies after this.
Yep.
I know there's no.
They should have saved that for, because it's
absolutely.
You don't have the history and
absolutely.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
And I would say that relationship was never again replicated in the Star Trek universe. Like a friendship that tight, I just don't think they got it.
Yeah, I feel
or
like
could
that's...
could do it. Because, like, Crusher and Picard were very close.
Yeah.
But it just, you know.
My immediate thought was Riker and Picard, number one.
But still not the same thing.
Not the same. Were you a Deep Space Nine fan?
A little bit.
All right.
I just couldn't get down with the station, man. Too static.
Oh, did you get, like, season three? Is it season three or season four?
No.
Where they give them a ship and they start to go off and do their thing?
Whatever that...
Oof.
Fork or whatever is, I can't think of his name, that like dealer guy, the Bajoran or whatever that guy was. I can't remember what his, with the weird crazy head and the face and the fangy
Ferengi?
Teeth. Yeah, the Ferengi.
Quart?
God, I hated that guy.
Oh, really?
Yes, I couldn't stand him. He drove me crazy. Anyway, on that nerd note,
we just
even though
got...
I couldn't remember Ferengi, but Jesus. Anyway,
oh,
RIP Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah,
thank
shout
you
out.
For what you've done.
We thank
really
you.
Appreciate it. And
very
we'll
much.
Be back with our review of 2014's RoboCop. Hello, Max Funsters. Lady James Dean, Rhea Butcher here. I just want to let you guys know to mark your calendars for the 2015 Max Fun Drive.
Rhea, it's Ricky. I'm here.
Oh, hey, Ricky. I didn't know you were over there.
I'm right here. When is the Max Fun Drive happening in 2015?
Oh. It's in the last 2 weeks of March, and it's the best time of the year to support your favorite podcast.
Oh, I
like
love
Max.
Oh, I love that show.
It's so great.
It's my favorite show that I'm on.
Yes, I listen to it all the time when I'm not making it. So beginning March 16th, we'll be pulling out. You love March 16th?
I love March 16th.
It's one of my favorite dates.
It's my favorite.
316.
Yes.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Thank you.
We'll be pulling out all the stops, producing our best shows of the year with juicy topics, amazing guests, and offering exclusive thank you gifts to entice you to become a new or upgrading member of MaximumFun.org.
You mean to tell me there's people out there who are not members?
It's shocking, I know, but there are people that are not members that do not support this show.
Join us!
Join us and the revolution.
And Prince.
And darling Nikki.
Thank you.
The Max Fun Drive starts March 16th and only runs for 2 weeks.
Dos semanas.
It's the most exciting time of the year on Wham Bam Pow, so do not miss it.
Best believe.
All right. Now is the time to give you a brief review of a dick flick. This week we chose RoboCop from 2014, which is currently on Netflix Watch Instant. And one more spoiler alert, we're just going to talk about the movie, so watch out. A few stats before we get into our reviews. This was directed by Jose Padilla. I don't know if I'm getting that right.
No,
there's
you said
an H
that,
in there.
No, you got that right.
There's no L. And it's written by Joshua Zetimer, Michael Miner, and Edward Neuermeyer. killing it. It stars, and Jose Padilla didn't really make anything else.
He made Elite Squad movies. Which
have you seen those?
No, I have. The second one is on Netflix.
Okay.
And I have the first one that was given to me before the new RoboCop came out. And I was told by my boy Hector, who's a fan of the show. What up, yo? And he said, hey, this new RoboCop is coming out. And I was like, fuck that movie. And he was like, watch this movie Elite Squad that he did. It's on point.
Okay.
Still haven't watched it, Hector.
All right, I understand.
But I will.
I think the first one was on Netflix Watch Instant. I feel like I definitely popped over that one numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
There's ones that I've just been, like Valhalla Rising.
Yeah.
That's just been in my queue for a good 6 years.
Is that the Nicholas Winding Refn one?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that shit, girl, you're in my queue to gavel.
I think that movie has been in my queue for 3 apartments. That's how long it's been in there. That is a long ass time.
Oh, that's funny.
Whew, that's a joke. That's a good joke.
That
I'm
is a good
put
joke.
That
I was going to say, I was about to say we need to.
Netflix
that could be a
material
segment on the show
always
or
works
something.
In clubs.
Absolutely.
Okay. So it stars Joel Kinnaman, Gary Oldman, Michael Keaton, Abby Cornish, and Jackie Earle. She's not Abby Cornish, and I just really
I was
going to
say
that
made me hungry for some reason.
Jackie Earle Haley, and of course, Samuel L. Jackson.
Mm.
So I tried to get a brief plot synopsis, but couldn't find any. So I'm going to give you a bit of a long one. In RoboCop, the year is 2028, and multinational conglomerate Omnicorp is at the center of robot technology. Overseas, their drones have been used by the military for years, and it's meant billions for Omnicorp's bottom line. Now Omnicorp wants to bring their controversial technology to the home front, and they see a golden opportunity to do it. When Alex Murphy, Joel Kinnaman, a loving husband, father, and good cop doing his best to stem the tide of crime and corruption in Detroit, is critically injured in the line of duty, not true, Omnicorp sees their chance for a part man, part robot police officer. Omnicorp envisions a RoboCop in every city and even more billions for their shareholders, but they never counted on one thing. There is still a man inside the machine pursuing justice.
Mm.
This has a 49%... on Rotten Tomatoes.
Is that right?
And it made $58.6 million domestic on a $100 million budget.
Wow.
It made $184 million foreign.
Oh, so they got the
so
money.
So they got their money
you
back.
You made your paper.
A few trivia things. In Raymond Sellers' office, a display case suit. There's a display case with the suit reminiscent of RoboCop, the original.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I liked this trivia thing that they left his human hand because that was like a big part in the original RoboCop that he still had a decent
yes.
working
yeah,
hand.
Yeah.
And what's his name? I can't think of his name now. I can't think of the actor's name or the character's name in the original RoboCop, and I just watched it again.
Miguel Ferrer.
Thank you. That's who I'm talking about.
Is it really?
Blank check, Miguel Ferrer. It's like, no, get rid of it.
He's my go-to.
He's great.
He's fantastic.
I love that guy. He should be in more stuff.
He should.
Well, should have been, I guess. Anyway,
is he gone?
No, he's not gone.
Oh, okay.
I just mean, I don't know. I don't know that he could really get cast in.
Loved
anymore.
Him in Traffic.
He's in Traffic?
Yeah, he is. He's great
seen
in Traffic.
Traffic in a long time. Traffic. I had a copy of Traffic sitting in my garage for a good 2 years.
Is that right?
Just left it in there.
I have a copy
Didn't
of Traffic Criterion Collection,
Whoa.
Ladies.
You do?
I do.
So those are the trivia things. Ricky, is there anything you want to talk about before we get into our best and worst parts?
I mean, there's parts of the movie that we can talk about. There's
general feelings about it?
General feelings about it. My general feeling about it was I didn't hate it.
Yeah. I was very upset that they were even making this.
Absolutely. 100%.
I was very upset by it. I was also upset with that robophobic thing that they put into the trailer.
Okay.
And then, you know, obviously in the context of the movie, it's like, oh, okay, well, I get why that person would say that. Still think it's super stupid, even within the context of the movie, just because, and it's one of my worst parts, so I guess we could just get into
it. Sure, absolutely.
Because I did not want to watch this. And then I got it, I think, from the library. Copied it. Shh, don't tell anybody.
Don't tell the government.
It's legal if you don't distribute it.
See?
It's totally legal. You're just extending your viewing period.
Thank you.
I never distribute it.
There you go.
Usually. Anyway. And then I was sick or something, so I was like, well, I have RoboCop. Do you want to just watch it? And then we watched it. And like you, didn't hate it. And I'm almost mad at myself for not hating it. I would say that this RoboCop is better than RoboCop 2. Hands down.
Oh, for sure. Oh, most definitely.
Unfortunately.
I mean, the RoboCop sequels are so bad. Like, I don't.
They're terrible.
I don't even. There's RoboCop, right. And then that's it.
Yes.
You know?
And I when I watched RoboCop 2, I liked watching it because it was so batshit crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I love Tom Noonan in it. I mean, he's perfect. He's always great.
I can hardly remember him in it.
Yeah, unfortunately, when I watched it again this time, there's not a lot of Tom Noonan. Because then he just is put into a thing, and then he's not there anymore. It's just his weird fake head, but I don't know. It's too bad. It's too bad about RoboCop 2, but that's not the movie we're talking about. We're talking about RoboCop 2014.
Yeah.
So how about, do you want to do best first or you don't want to do worst first?
Either one, whichever you want. I mean, well, because here's the thing. I didn't hate the movie. I didn't love the movie. I just kept being like, man, I'm not.
Yeah.
It's not disappointing me.
Sure.
I wasn't disappointed.
That's why
by
I can't
it.
Decide whether to do best or worst
yeah,
first.
Like,
I usually like to do the thing, like if it's a movie that I think we're both going to like, I like to save best for last.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about it longer. And then if we don't like it, I save worst for last. So we can talk about it a little bit longer. But I honestly can't tell which way to go with this one. So I'm just going to say, let's do best first.
Okay. Well, then just things that stood out to me. That I enjoyed in the movie, put them together as one would be the best, make one the best moment. I liked the bookending of Samuel L. Jackson, him at the beginning of the movie and
yes.
him at the end of the movie. I just thought that was very well done. I like
and that would be, I think, to piggyback on what you're saying, probably the only time that they. I couldn't tell if they were trying to carry the tone from the first RoboCop of this satire, like government bureaucratic satire.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell if they were trying to do that again.
But I think they were, and I think
that
is one example.
That was the only time that I thought was successful.
Oh, is that right?
Of carrying that tone over.
Okay.
Anyway, continue.
I thought the Jay Baruchel character was another example of that. Kind of satire, just these people like he just fit in that world.
Sure.
Of the movie does a good job of not just, hey, do you like RoboCop? Here it is again with better special effects.
Yeah.
They were able to just like make these little left or right turns where I was like, okay, that's a different way of showing me that I was okay with. What else? That first attack. Where the girl is like doing the journalist, she's like talking
yes.
to the camera, and then whoever get like, I just thought that was really funny.
Yeah,
and I thought that was a good way of like, oh yeah, there's parts in the original RoboCop where you're like, this is fucked up,
right.
But I'm laughing, and I thought that was a really good moment of that. I like the theme song.
Uh-huh.
They didn't fuck with that.
Yes,
which I thought was really really smart. I liked Michael Keaton as he's not psycho crazy bad guy. Michael Keaton. He's kind of like subdued.
Yeah.
And I liked that.
I was just bummed that he didn't go full Beetlejuice.
I
could have used it one time.
Yeah.
So that the ending would have paid off more of him dying. You know, because it was like, I kind of felt sympathetic to the guy because he wasn't crazy enough for me to be like, yes, please kill this guy. You know,
yeah.
I was kind of like, oh, that sucks that they killed that guy. Because, you know, in the first RoboCop, when the OCP guys get killed, you're like, whew, thank God.
Absolutely.
These people are terrible. And also you're in a world where people are dying left and right, that death doesn't have the same weight to it
mm-hmm.
within that world of that movie. Whereas in this one, the collateral damage was more rooted in reality, like all of the death in that movie, which I could tell was going to be different from that beginning sequence. Because I thought, like, I started watching it and I was like, I can't watch this right now because it was overseas, because it was during, in something that is actually happening right now, which RoboCop 1, you could argue, would also be true, but it's at least on our own soil. So I was a little bit stressed out seeing that. And then when I actually did watch it, I thought, like, oh, okay, well, they're not really carrying this to the same conclusion that the first RoboCop would. Because if it was the first RoboCop, that reporter would have died.
Yeah.
Like, I saw them put that on there, like, you'll be fine. I was like, oh, God, she's going to die. And yeah. I was, like, excited about it because I thought, oh, it's going to be like the first RoboCop. Then they didn't. And I was like, ugh, what is it? So now you started with best and I'm doing my worst.
No, go say that shit.
It's transitioning into it. So that actually is my worst part, that the tone, like the plot and the tone didn't really match up to me. Because it starts overseas and then they're like, no, but the whole movie is about us trying to have it here. It doesn't really make sense to me that they would include that first part. It just never really gelled for me.
Okay.
That like we have these drones in other places, but we really want to make one here. It just didn't fit together to me.
Okay.
In terms of the plot. But my best parts are this is my best part. Not including Jackie Earle Haley. Loved his character work in this movie. Samuel Jackson was great, and Michael Keaton was great. So I love those three things. Also, Michael K. Williams, of course. Omar coming.
Shout out to Omar.
He didn't get enough to do. He did not,
he did not get enough to do.
Give that man more to do. Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
give him more to do.
I think at that point they didn't realize he's a star.
He absolutely is.
He can carry, like, pretty soon I think he might be able to carry his own movies.
Oh, yeah.
So it just kind of felt like.
He'll definitely be able to carry a show.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, most definitely. Yeah.
Like an Amazon original or something.
I think he's going to
give that guy a show.
He's doing like a boxing show for HBO next,
perfect.
I think.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
But my specific best part is how early and how intensely they show Murphy what is left of him.
Mm.
I had a visceral reaction to seeing that on film because I was like, no. Just like I could not stop thinking about actually being that being and like seeing that that's all that's left of me.
Mm.
I could not believe that they did that. I mean, it's, hey, good job. They really ratcheted it up from the first one to, because, you know, you only see through his, like, eyes in the, which is very effective in the first one. And then they start to do more of that body terror in the second one, which is odd. Anyway, but that body terror of seeing that, whoo, Nelly. I was, like, telling Cameron, I was like, I don't know. I don't feel well.
Yeah.
Because I just was imagining myself just a pair of lungs hanging there. Whew.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to lose a little bit of weight, but not that much. Sheesh.
It's it's intense. It actually, I did not like that it's a car explosion that gets him.
Yeah, it's, well, that,
there
I
was
guess,
just like no, there was no like stakes to it.
Right.
There,
and
you know?
Especially because the Alex Murphy death in RoboCop is so intense.
Yeah.
And so they kill him for no reason because he's a cop and he's there. And they just, that's how nihilistic the world is that they're in.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the thing. There's no nihilism in this world. And then I didn't get to it. So we'll transition into worse now. So now I feel like I can more eloquently express my worst part.
Would you
which
please?
Is that they start by having this global issue and drones in the world. And then when they come back, it's just some drug lord that they kill him because there's crooked cops. It just doesn't. It goes like real wide and then real small, but then the feeling's not there.
Hmm.
You know? It just doesn't, you can't compete with the nihilism in the first one.
Yeah.
And like we were talking about with Star Trek, when you take on a new property, people are going to bring, a lot of the people that are watching it are going to bring that history into it. And so I'm bringing that into it. The Murphy death scene is like, you know, there's a lot of allegories to Christ that he's like being crucified and all that stuff because of where he's being shot, and then this, he just gets blown up.
Yeah. There's two moments in particular where in the original RoboCop you're just like, RoboCop is my guy, and the first one is when he gets shot, and then the second one is when the actual cops, after he has become RoboCop, and he's in the parking lot, and he's just, like, falling down from level to level, and they just keep fucking shooting him up. And I was like, ah, he's RoboCop, leave him alone!
Yeah.
And the movie did, this new version, not that it takes away from the movie, it makes it a worse movie, but it doesn't have those two moments where I go, oh man, RoboCop is my guy.
Yeah, you like, don't I just, really
yeah, like,
get
he's
behind
not,
him
I'm
too
not,
much.
Yeah, he, I'm not invested in him like I was in the first one. That being said, you know, I didn't like the car explosion. I didn't like that's what gets him to becoming RoboCop. But when that scene happened, that's a big reveal where it's just his head and his, like, what is it, like his spinal cord and his lungs.
And his one little hand hanging out.
I was like, God damn. Yeah. That was as close I felt to watching him get shot up both those times. Worst parts for me, a little bit of that. The main villain, their version of Boddicker is a waste.
That's what I mean. It's just I don't care.
That was one where I'd have preferred they could have just created somebody completely new than try and have any kind of similarities to that original character. I didn't care for Jackie Earle Haley.
I thought he was funny. I thought it was like good, like. Comic relief. And I do love when he got to, I guess I just mean like that actor, I like enjoy him.
Mm-hmm.
And
I do
he was really having, he seemed like he was having a good time with it. But it was silly. The whole thing was silly.
Yeah.
I did like when he said, I'll buy that for a dollar.
Yeah.
That was pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
And that scene, actually, to rewind and drop in a new best part, when he's like, it's the machine, but he thinks he's doing it. That is an interesting take on RoboCop, you know, because they didn't go into the directives. They didn't go into all that stuff. Now, if they would have just taken that nugget and spun out from that instead of being like, OK, drones, the world, then there's this thing. Like if they would have just said like, OK, people play video games all the time. But when how can you convince a person that they are playing a video game when they're not? Hmm. You know, like that was a really interesting, intricate idea when they turned off certain things in him, and he didn't know that they did, because in this one, the prime thing is to keep the person.
Yeah.
Because they know they need to keep the person to keep the public on board with it. So that I did find that to be interesting. But my absolute worst part, and we'll end on this and then we'll rate it, was when they show him what's left of himself. It was both my best and worst part. Because I was terrified. I was a kid that saw that by accident, I would be messed up for weeks. Absolutely messed up for weeks.
Shout out to whoever did the effects on that, because it just does it like his head hanging there.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's weight to it. It feels like Gary Oldman is like really
into a thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's really. Whew. And shout out to Gary Oldman as well. I actually thought he was. Sometimes that role of a guy who's doing something good. But then is kind of bad at the same, whether what he's doing is bad, or sometimes he plays it as bad. Sometimes it's hard to know like what you're supposed to feel about that character and get a little gray. But Gary Oldman was, I liked everything he did.
He did
he
do
solid.
A good job in this movie. Still think he's a dick, but he did do a great job in this movie. Okay, so Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 5, black suit or silver suit? How many black suit or silver suits do you give it?
I will give it 3. Black suit or silver suits?
All right.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, which one? Black suit or silver suit?
I'll go traditional. I'll go silver.
Okay.
At the end, it's silver, yeah? I feel like at the end,
does he show up again in silver?
Isn't like his like family walks in, and he's like, I'm ready. And then they walk in.
I feel like
he's walking to them, he has another closer version to the original.
Well, fascinating. I watched it like 2 weeks ago, so I forget the end. But anyway, I think I'm a silver suit myself.
Yeah.
But not the like pearlescent RoboCop 2 suit. I'm RoboCop 1.
Yes.
There is only one RoboCop.
Thank you. I like the Robo Cycle.
Yes.
I was a fan of that.
You know, the special effects in this movie were pretty good.
They were.
They weren't terrible.
They were. They were pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah. And on a scale of 1 to 5, Abby Cornish hens. I'll give it 3.5. I'll give it 3.5.
Okay.
Abby Cornish hens. Because, like, I didn't have a terrible time.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, and I can't believe it. Because I really like RoboCop, and I can't believe they remade it. But I don't think they're going to make a sequel to this.
Yeah, I don't know. At what point did you keep watching it the whole time, being like, I'm not hating this. I'm not hating this.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, like, after that drone thing at the beginning happened, and I was like, I don't know. I really didn't like the beginning.
Yeah.
When he was, like, in the cop stage, you know, whatever. And then, basically, once he was in the lab, when they showed his hanging lung thing, his, like, chain wallet of lungs, I was like, This is crazy. Ah. I cannot believe they're doing this. Yeah. Also, it was crazy that you didn't see RoboCop for a solid 48 minutes. That is a gamble.
I'm okay when movies do that. I think it works out better to hold off on giving us the, here he is.
The goods?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Character.
I'll say that. So
hopefully you're building character in between that.
Yeah, 6.5. From the R&R episode on a RoboCop.
Our review, you won't hate it.
So next week, we will be reviewing Chappie.
Because I'm Chappie.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
No, you get out of this room right now.
I did it.
We'll be reviewing Chappie, which will be in theaters. So get on out, see that movie, give money to sci-fi, because come on. I hear it's getting bad reviews, but let's not call this one too early. So we'll be watching that next week. And Ricky, what are you going to leave us with this week?
I am going to leave you with a show that I am loving right now. And I will say, I'm only 2 episodes in.
Okay.
But that fresh off the boat, though.
Oh, yeah?
Fresh off the boat, though.
Okay.
Fresh off the boat, though.
Fresh off the boat.
That fresh off the boat, right. Though. It's really funny.
Is it? Awesome.
And
well,
really,
check it out.
Really smart. It takes place in 1995. It's a little
You're
Asian
kidding.
Kid. I'm not kidding.
Oh.
Little Asian kid walking around wearing Notorious B.I.G. shirts, loves hip hop.
Great.
It doesn't just play off of it plays off of stereotypes in a very smart way, which
perhaps from the perspective of the stereotyped.
Yes. But even
Fantastic.
That not in, but even not that like what was that show back in the day, that Margaret Cho show?
Oh, American Girl.
Yeah.
All American Girl?
Something
All
like
American
that where
Girl.
You were like
I loved that show.
Did you?
Just cuz I liked her.
Oh, for sure. Of course. I loved
mean,
her.
I was a kid. I didn't know
then
what
I watched it,
anybody
and I was,
like, talking about.
This is not right.
Yeah.
And if in this one it's just like, "Oh no, you guys figured it out." It's
cool.
Really funny.
Everybody
really,
check
really
that
funny.
Out.
Fresh off the boat, yo. Support that.
Cool. And I am going to recommend the song Space Doggity by Jonathan Colton because I was moved to tears while listening to it. So just check that out. And then I just want to say thank you, number one, to you guys, to everybody that listens to this show and tweets at me and stuff. It really makes me very happy. I really, really appreciate everybody that pays attention and likes the show. And of course, anybody that donates and gives us reviews and stuff. And anybody that follows me on Twitter. I really appreciate it. I tell really dumb jokes a lot. And you guys haven't unfollowed me. I really appreciate it. And a final thank you to Kelly Clarkson. And I'll just leave it at that. So until next week, I'm Rhea Butcher.
I am Ricky Carmona.
And you have been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters by Lindsay Pavlis. Thank you, Lindsay, and Maximum Fun, and thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.